Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 123 of the PowerCast. This is a bonus episode that I've been holding on to for a little bit. It's, you know, I like to call these the safety episodes. Every once in a while, we have extra time to record an extra episode so that if we have a travel problem or an illness problem or whatever, we're not stuck without an episode or trying to record one at the very last minute or something like that. So this one's been kicking around since October, and it was a Q&A that we did off of Twitter, but people didn't have a whole lot of questions, and so we waxed philosophical for a bit. So I think, you know, sometimes just talking is good, and so that's pretty much what we did on this particular afternoon when we put this episode together. Our sponsors for this episode, howmuchabench.net, thepowermagazine.com, cavemancoffeeco.com, Compex USA at shopcompex.com, Rogue Fitness at thepowercast.com/rogue, and 8-Man Strong at 8manstrong.com. Hit us up on iTunes with a 5-star rating and review. We appreciate those as they keep coming in, and enjoy this bonus episode of the PowerCast.
Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California. This is Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
Lamar Odom, Smelly Bell, was found outside of Las Vegas in a brothel, passed out, half dead. And now I think he's in a coma. Or maybe not a coma, but he's on some kind of breathing life support.
What the fuck is a brothel?
Where you go to pay ladies of the night. Not that I would know.
Whorehouse.
Half dead?
Yeah, he was fucked up. I guess he was like foaming at the mouth and stuff.
Was he with a Kardashian?
A long time ago, he was married to one.
What's up with that Kardashian pussy? It can fucking kill you.
He was married to the Kardashian that's hip circling around town.
Look at goddamn Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was the best thing since sliced bread number two.
Yeah. I just have a problem with a lot of those college studs. Like, what about Trent Richardson?
Yeah, but this is a different breed, man. Reggie Bush didn't run the ball like that. He dodged people.
Yeah.
He was fast. No one could catch him.
Now he gets injured all the time.
But he got all that pussy and he got tackled all the time now.
Maybe. Weak legs?
Mm-hmm. Women weak in legs.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. You're shaking all over the place. You got a vibrating elbow. You can't even text.
You guys can't see, but Mark's got a Compex on his arm here, and it's
his biceps twerking.
Yeah.
Twerk it for me, twerk it for me, twerk it for me, twerk it for me. Girl just tweeted us and said, "What's wrong with me? I listen to every podcast each week." There's a lot wrong with you, honey.
I can't help you. Sweetheart, I can't help you.
It's called being a slut. H-O-R-E.
Maybe.
Well, one thing we can talk about.
I'm kidding, by the way. That was supposed
that
to be
was rude. That was
who hears from Sacramento?
That was
fuck, I suck
rude.
At stand-up.
I was talking about
I'm
this
fired.
The other day. Sacramento is one of the few cities that does not have much pride in it. Like, you could go to a guy that was born and
although
raised
although there's
here.
Plenty of gay pride.
There's a decent amount of gay pride. You could go to someone who was born and raised in Sacramento, talk shit on Sacramento, and they won't be really offended. If you do that in any other city, they'd be pissed.
That's kind of true, yeah.
It's very true. Yeah. San Francisco people are diehard. Everyone wants to be from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Everyone from here wants to be from San Francisco.
Well, see, I mean, I grew up here, and so, you know, we call it the city. It's not even San Francisco. It's the city.
Yeah.
It's the only city that matters anywhere near us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I was in downtown Davis this morning, and I don't know why this person decided to ask me. It was shocking. But they asked me
why
if
were
I
you in downtown Davis?
to get some pizza.
To be first in line at
yeah, number one, baby. I was, how embarrassing is that when you're order number one?
At a pizza place at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, I was flying in from New York, and I don't know what time it is.
Yeah.
I had to make something up.
Do as we say, not as we do.
The guy asked me if I wanted to support gay pride.
Did he have you write something or he just wanted your opinion?
Yeah, he had like some clipboard or something. Yeah. But I was like, what? Why would you ask me?
You know me, I'm not gay.
Yeah, come on, guys. You know me.
I'm not gay.
I mean, he must have known. He must have saw me.
Yeah. Oh, there's more news going on.
A twinkle in my eye.
KJ, our mayor, has like molestation charges or something from like 15 years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there's a, apparently, I haven't seen
real ones are like an 18 or 18 year old chick or something.
I don't know if it's 17, guy.
17 year old.
Yeah. I don't know if it's girl guy and, or
and
what.
Then, no, it's a girl. And
back when it was a straight line.
apparently, there's a video that shows her like sitting on her hands at the police station reporting it back then. Now, no charges were filed back then, but you know, he was also very well known at the time. Yeah. So, you know, who knows?
When are our skeletons going to be pulled out of the closet?
I don't know.
We're getting more famous, or we're all fucked.
What? I was thinking about, speaking of, you know, skeletons in the past, I was thinking
about
the fact
alligator
that,
skeletons are on our fucking table.
Yeah, you guys can't see what Matt Vincent sent us.
If he didn't kill this himself, that's a sad gift.
It is sad.
You know who has done that, has wrestled alligators, is JD.
Yeah.
From Reebok.
Yeah. That's a
he's
great,
got, like, pictures and shit.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a huge one. He's from Florida, you know, he's like a gator fan and all that, but he's wrestling a huge motherfucker.
Yeah.
Really?
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. It's on Instagram, I think.
I would. There's no way.
There isn't any way.
Yeah, this one's tiny compared to what the one JD literally looks like. He's wrestling a dinosaur.
Jeez.
It's huge.
Shout out to my boy JD. Good job, buddy.
He's tougher than his hair looks.
What's his fucking phrase?
I don't know.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, him and fucking, spraying out.
Yeah, spraying fucking gators left and right. Him and AJ Pappas.
Wow.
A.K.A.
Mr. Handsome?
David Beckham.
Yeah, David Beckham.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of Team Super Training.
10 years, motherfuckers!
And the 9-year anniversary of Super Training Gym. So,
oh, my God.
If we were to roll back to those days, I'm sure there would be plenty of skeletons to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eating donuts all day.
A lot of gay pride, too.
Just fat guys hanging out.
So much gay pride and so much Super Training pride.
Actually, the
STD pride.
The company where our audio podcast is hosted, the guy who owns that, partly owns that, is part owner of a new company that it's some kind of an app that you can organize events on. You know, like big events that require a lot of logistical support and shit like that. But like their biggest client is the nationwide organization of gay pride parades. So
there you go.
Well, every big city has one.
Yeah, exactly.
Pride,
well,
moneymaker.
Yeah. I think it must be.
I think
right?
We should get into a new business.
Need something. Fuck.
Gay pride business.
Turn something into nothing.
So what'd you have on your pizza, Smelly? Pizza for breakfast is a great thing, but typically pizza for breakfast means leftover pizza, but not in your case.
Cold pizza.
Yeah, you got a little ambitious.
ESPN did a whole show on that, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even breakfast. That's how fat I am.
Brunch? Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of like brunch. Yeah. I had a meatball, and I had pepperoni and extra cheese.
That is fat.
So good.
Damn.
Very fat.
I'm weird about the combinations of stuff on my pizza because I feel like it starts to alter the pizza too much.
If you have too much meat.
So sometimes I even just, or anything, like too many peppers or some shit, onions, any of that kind of stuff. I don't like to mess with it too much. Same thing with like a sandwich. Like if there's too many combinations of shit going on, sometimes that can be great. You get like an Italian sub or something like that. That can be fucking fantastic, but then sometimes you got too many things going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty basic with all my shit.
Well, flashing back to early days of Super Training Gym, going to Beach Hut Deli, the Beachcomber, which is two kinds of meat and two kinds of cheese.
Oh yeah,
is that too much?
No, that's perfect. No, see, I just don't want vegetables and shit on there after that.
Yeah, peppercinis.
Yeah, pickles and everything. Yeah. And it can add to it a little bit, but it's also like pulling away from the original flavor of the whole thing.
That's kind
of
how I am with sauce. Like a little bit of barbecue sauce or a little bit of ketchup maybe, but like I like most of my shit pretty
dry.
The
worst is if you order a sandwich from a place and then bring it home and it's got a bunch of sauce on it, then it's all wet.
Yeah.
That's fucking.
That's why I just
worst,
get my shit dry.
Worst fat guy thing ever.
Same
fat guy problems.
Burritos, get them dry, like no sour cream and weird shit.
Yeah, then it just completely falls apart when you go to eat it.
Yeah.
You bring it home.
Yeah, I'm not
so
into
sad.
It. A burrito sounds really good right now.
I love burritos.
Never podcast while you're hungry.
That's true. Mm. Well, I actually had a Quest bar before I left the house just to be sure that I was not going to be starving.
That's all I had. I've had two Quest bars, and I've had Fairline milk. Did I tell you about Fairline milk?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, so it's like A3, whatever the fuck it
is,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just know it's hella protein.
Some sort of special cows.
Is that the stuff you brought in for your birthday? Or is it
Yeah. Sandy brought it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Extra farts.
Yeah, like 18 grams of protein, like 9 carbs, no fat.
Well, all the lactose guys were going, well, hey, that just has the enzyme in it. It's not really lactose-free. It's like,
yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, what is that about? Why do they say, how do they get away with that?
Lactose-free?
Lactose-free, but it's not lactose-free. It just has lactase in it. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
bastards.
Does it make you fart?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why so many people in the strength game are lactose intolerant? Like, I'm not, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty okay. I mean, everything makes me fart, but I don't really care. I don't consider myself... Maybe I am lactose intolerant, but I just don't...
I think I'm... you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm not running to the bathroom shitting my brains out. It's not going to affect my day.
I'm not completely lactose intolerant. I made myself, like, lactose sensitive because I started eating more meat and just got away from certain foods for a while.
Yeah.
So then I... Then when I went back to it, I just was allergic to it.
Yeah. Veggie sensitive.
But you can make yourself, you can get yourself used to it again.
Right.
I mean, unless it's like from generation to generation, then it might be more difficult. But
I'm sure there's ways to get yourself in anything.
You could have like yogurt and cheese and some different things, and you can kind of work your way to a less farty milk breakfast.
It's just the microbiome in your gut.
Yeah, it's like a scale, though, right? Like, some people literally just shit their brains out, right?
Fart scale?
Yeah, the fart scale.
How do we end up here again?
If you just drink milk and just fart, like, I don't find that, like, I'm not going to claim I have, like, this disease of lactose intolerance. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Food makes you fart, like, humans fart. That's part of what we do. Dogs fart, cats fart.
Everybody needs an excuse for something, though.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you need, like, reason.
It's almost like hypochondriacs.
I know, like...
Like, oh, no, I'm lactose intolerant. Let me... Fat Dan's taking a pill. We're trying to go get some fucking ice cream in San Francisco. We had to go to Walgreens to get his fucking special pill just so he can eat, like, a gallon of ice cream later and shit his brains out.
Everybody needs a reason behind everything.
I don't understand. Like... I don't know. I don't get it.
It just makes me fart.
Well,
I don't really
care. Dan's got problems.
I will say this, that when I've done super low-carb diets before, and then when you take the cheat day and you go nuts.
Yeah, it can blow up your stomach.
Yeah, well, really bad.
Yeah, you get bloated and shit. I think anytime
even,
you change your
get
diet.
Rid of gluten for a while or whatever. Yeah, any change. Or all of a sudden you start eating vegetables and you're not used to them.
Yeah, people talk about like keto or going super ultra-low-carb is just like an everyday thing, but that's a very drastic change on your body.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like literally cutting out an entire macronutrient or adding it back in, you're bound to shit yourself.
Yeah, I usually
just
tell people just to go
you
lower.
Won. The complex is singing to you.
I usually just tell people to go lower, you know, like if they're trying to think about, oh, I want to do no carbs. Like, well, just why don't you just go lower carb first? Because you probably weren't tracking or counting anything.
Yeah. We talk about all that. Like, just
eat a little bit less of them.
First
know?
Thing, like, just stop drinking calories.
Yeah.
Step number one. Yeah. See what
maybe
the fuck
stop
happens.
Drinking beer. What?
And then more beer.
What? I mean, small changes like that can make a huge difference for those of you that eat a lot of that.
Even
shit.
The Texas pretty rattlesnake told us he drinks less beer.
God damn it. I can't shut this thing off.
It's still singing to you.
Yeah.
Complex is so excited for you.
Making lots of noises. I love this thing, though. I work it on my elbows and my knees all the time. Works
the only
really
thing
good.
Is it's like shaving your back. Like, how do I get my erectors? Mm. I need someone else to put it on there. That gets a little weird.
Yeah. you're going to have somebody else. There's no like... Well, I got a man groomer to shave my back. So
yeah, what if there was like a complex placer?
Yeah, you need that.
It's got like a rear view mirror, and you stick one suction.
I
want to
invent that for injections. Do you have that problem too, Mike, where you cramp up when you're doing your...
When I'm trying to inject my
roids?
Erector with
how much
peptides?
How much roids did you take this morning?
Bro, I'm on a lot of roids.
It looks like it. Doesn't it look like he's on a lot of shit?
Kenny Santucci, my buddy from like Jersey, you know, on the Real World, loud Italian guy, calls and leaves me a message. Hey, you fucking juice head. Answer your fucking phone.
Yeah. So he knows the truth.
Yeah. We roomed together for a week straight.
Oh, so he saw the syringes.
Straight.
Yeah.
I suppose you're joking when you say straight,
week,
right?
A week gay.
Yeah, there you go.
Mr. Beautiful. His name
is Mr.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but I want to make like a plunger that's hooked up to something.
Okay, I got it.
So all you need to do is hit your butt with a needle.
Yeah,
and
not
then
that
you
I've ever seen any kind of pornography ever, but if I were to see some kind of pornography, I think they would.
How do we always talk about porn and farts?
I think this will get back to your needles. Don't worry.
You started this, Jim.
I think they invented
I think.
A wiener substitute made out of plastic that suctions to the wall.
A
wiener substitute? A dildo?
Yep. I'm a little inexperienced in this area. So a wiener substitute, and they plug it to the wall, right? And then the girl can do whatever.
The suction must be pretty good on that.
Girl or guy could do whatever they want to do. But what if you could have a syringe and the top of it's a suction, so you can plug it on any wall? You know, little kids' toys, they have guns, like Nerf guns. You can shoot them and they stick on the wall. So you plug this syringe on the wall and then you just back that
ass
up.
Jim and I already ran into somebody that did this exact same thing. Not with a dildo, but with a syringe.
And it works terribly.
Yeah, you know, I know, it worked good. He said he leaned up against the refrigerator to inject himself.
Oh, I remember that story.
But I was just like, you know, why are we involved in this sport? Why, we're talking to fat guys talking about injecting their butt with fucking roids rather than talking to like chicks about how short their shorts are or something for volleyball or something like that or CrossFit.
Yeah, we got in the wrong sport.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Why am I coaching these fat fucks? Giving guys wedgies in their briefs and stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah, all that shit hurts, too. It hurts me to give someone a wedgie because the material's so rough. It hurts my hands. But,
well, it confuses you, too, because then you have a boner.
Yeah, you like it. It smells weird, but you like it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just smell that guy's balls. They smell pretty good.
I believe that a lot of...
I miss Treston Scholl.
Oh, yeah. I miss his scent.
I think a lot of the forearm tendonitis that I had back in those days had to do with putting people in their gear.
That's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Kills.
It's the worst. People complain about, like, putting on, like...
Knee sleeves
that are tight, like shit, man. Like,
you guys
or how?
Have no
like, oh,
idea.
I don't like them because they're tight, or my belt's tight. Like, I wasn't in gear very long. Like, I've only put on briefs, you know, maybe 5 to 10 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it hurts.
Not fun at all.
So you didn't eat any breakfast? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, typically my day goes: grab a glass of milk and Quest Bar, hammer emails, play Madden on my phone.
How's that going? How's Madden on your phone?
Good, good. My squad's coming together.
Remember you were all pumped? You tried to get it like on your iPad, and then you got screwed.
Dude,
right?
It wouldn't play on the...
Because you tried to get a free one or something.
I went a little frugal route, and for some reason, it wouldn't play on the airplane. I thought, because some games on iPad you actually download, and some you play on Wi-Fi.
Right.
I'm not going to pay $5 on a fucking flight to Vegas, you know? Wi-Fi, fuck that shit.
I remember you were so pumped. You're like, I'm going to play Madden all the way there.
Maybe it was Ohio, too. It would have been like a six-hour flight.
Yeah. That's
It fucked me.
Yeah, you got killed.
Yeah, but 2016, I heard Mario's coming to the iPad.
I know. What are we going
to
do then?
I don't know. And Star Wars is coming to the fucking Xbox. Star Wars is coming out in like 2 months now.
I saw Lena Carr had a Star Wars shirt.
Yeah.
That put you over the edge?
Yeah, Star Wars is so great. She made a comment on like Twitter or something. She's like, my coach said I got so many likes on that picture because nerds normally don't see chicks or something.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Nerds don't see chicks that aren't, you know, performers.
We should reenact that. I'll put the Star Wars sweater and tidy tights on, and then we can take a photo shoot.
And then just look down at your vagina?
Straight
and flex
down.
Your quads.
Straight down at my vaginas.
Is that the way it works?
I don't know. It might work that way.
It was an impressive photo. She did a good job.
Not bad, right?
Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was well did. What about you, Jim? You eat any breakfast?
I had some cereal when I first got up, and then like I said, I had the Quest Bar on the way over here. So
what's going on in the
any kind of good cereal?
Nah, actually, you know, it was just some brand cereal with a little bit of something that tasted like something on it, or some kind of peanut butter granola that didn't have a terrible macro profile.
What's going on in the Jim McD and Mark Smellybell's diets lately?
I'm just being fat currently, but I need to veer off of that. I've been thinking about like
veer off from being fat.
Yeah, I think I need to
don't do that, Jim.
I need to do something, but like losing 10 pounds is nothing. You might as well gain an extra 10 pounds and lose 20, and you know that you people can see that, right? I mean,
it's more impressive.
It's much more impressive.
So you're thinking go fatter first.
Go fatter first. Yeah, exactly.
Go fatter, go home.
Yeah.
And then, well, the holidays are coming up, so you can't lose weight during the holidays.
You can't lose weight during the holidays, no.
That just wouldn't make any sense.
It can be very difficult.
No, I mean, you know, honestly, like a year ago when the shit started to hit the fan in my personal life, you know, Will was injured and my grandson was sick and all that stuff. Like, you know, you come to a point where you start to give yourself permission to eat shit that you wouldn't normally eat anymore because number one, the initial impact of it is not that strong.
Yeah,
like you
Lane Norton talked about
5 pounds from, you know, a trip to
right.
P pizza, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Lane Norton talked about willpower, and we talk about it in terms of stress and lifting and whatever. Like, life stress bleeds over into recovery for lifting stress, and so does willpower. Like, there's not like 10 grams of willpower for food, 10 grams of willpower for alcohol, 10 grams of willpower to turn off Pornhub. That's all coming from the same willpower. So if you're struggling all day long with stress.
Yeah.
If you're just eating shit and you don't care about getting
fat. Wait, you eat shit?
Why did you have bran cereal?
Oh. Huh?
Why didn't you have like fucking Captain Crunch or something?
Well, because I was trying to mitigate the impact. Plus, Captain Crunch rapes the roof of your mouth.
I know. It's great.
You think they do that on purpose?
I don't know. It's still addicting either way.
Did you eat wasn't there a Captain Crunch donut here this weekend?
I don't think it was Fruity Pebbles.
I don't believe in those.
The Fruity Pebble one was good. That was good.
I like donuts.
It's like voodoo donuts.
I didn't have a single donut. Portland.
I do like donuts.
Portland's a place we haven't gone.
Huh?
Portland.
I've been to Portland before, I think.
Blue Star Donuts.
I don't know. I don't know where I've been.
Oh, so sad.
I think I've been there before. Isn't that where Chris Steffen's from?
Yeah,
I've been there before.
So I was there actually right before we went to Walter Reed last year, as a matter of fact, because we were sort of waiting to hear where Will was going to land.
Yeah, Portland's a cool city.
Will got a promotion. He's a sergeant now, for those of you who are paying attention.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where is he right now, D.C.?
He's in D.C. Actually, he's being honored by the USO in Cincinnati right now, too.
Oh, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right next door to Raw Nationals.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Raw Nationals, it's like fucking 1,200 lifters.
I think we're like 15 or 18 right now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
so that is supposed to be something crazy. Insanity. But it's because they kind of let everybody in, though, right? I mean,
if you qualify.
Yeah, I mean, the meet will be long over by the time this podcast comes out. But
Good luck to all our friends.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you just prediction wise? Maybe not what people are going to do, but like, are people going to come out of this meet going, "Man, this is the greatest meet ever"? Or are people going kind of come out of it saying, "This is really long and excessive"?
I don't know how they set it up. I don't know if they extended the days, you know, putting different weight classes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or if they added platforms.
My opinion is that there should never be more than one platform, and if there is more than one platform, it should only be reserved for like tournament style powerlifting. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
What is tournament style powerlifting? Are they jousting?
Tournament style powerlifting would be that you have, you know, a couple flights, like you would in track and field. You have a couple of flights, and then those flights, they narrow them down, and then they go against each other. Which would mean
make this up, or is this
I just
happen?
Fucking made it up.
Oh, all right.
I just made it up.
I didn't know if it was a thing.
No, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you spend all that time and you spend money and you put a lot of effort into it, and then you don't even get a platform to yourself for the 5 seconds that you're lifting.
Yeah,
it's kind of ridiculous
actually makes
to me.
Sense. Yeah,
you know, I just don't agree with it. I mean, in track and in swimming and some of those sports, like they'll have like. You know, different flights or whatever they call them in those events or whatever. They'll be like 5 or 6 flights. They'll swim against each other. They'll take the best times and they'll go against each other further. And they do a final and a semi or the semifinal, final, all that kind of
so
stuff.
So how would that work? Were you like say? I mean, you couldn't do it for all 3 lifts because that would take forever. But say if you're doing it on the squat, you would do 3 squats and then
anything's possible. Why not just do one squat? You know, like in again, using track and field as a model, when you do a 100-meter sprint, you do one sprint.
Okay.
You don't do 3, and they don't take the best time out of the 3. They just take the 1. So you do 1 squat, and then whoever did the best, you go again. You go at it again. A lot of times, you know, like in swimming, they'll like, you know, intentionally pair people up. You kind of understand that like one of the flights is the weaker one or whatever, and it's maybe not going to be the best. But, you know, I don't know, something along those
lines.
They
did a little bit of that at Boston
Bosses. Or make a qualifying total that's a little bit more legitimate.
I think that's where their USAPL will move. Yeah. Just because, like, I know the total for 204s, you know, my weight class is like
I'm normally a fan of the USAPL, but I would say they failed miserably, like, allowing 1,200 people to go to nationals.
I don't think they predicted the spike or accommodated the spike of powerlifting popularity.
But have some sort of total that's reasonable that... Yeah. You have less motherfuckers in the meet.
Yeah, somewhere in between RUM's total and USAPL national total.
Well, I mean, a national meet should be a national meet that has some kind of qualification, right? Right. I mean, and then I'm sorry, but when you have really big meets that you need to run two platforms for, you're not doing it for altruistic reasons. You're doing it to generate money.
Yes, the same thing with the low total.
Yeah,
right. Just to get people in there, get people excited, which is cool to get people excited. But yeah, I mean, this is a competition sport. Not everybody deserves to be a national level competitor.
Right? Oh, I don't even like people. I don't even like hearing people talk about it.
Yeah,
it's like you've done three meets. Like you just don't deserve to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just kind of worthless. But they also have a lot of categories, and so that's sometimes where you end up with more and more people entering the pot. You know, I don't know how many categories there are, but there's masters and there's kids, there's just all kinds of different categories. So I don't know how many this one has in particular, but probably has a lot.
Yeah, I don't know about masters and shit. I think the USAPL's pretty much like every other Fed where they have 20 different masters.
Right.
30 through 35, 35 through 40.
I think USAPL does a masters meet by itself too,
right.
But I just don't remember if that's a international or national. I have no idea. But I believe they're supposed to split everything up next year.
I didn't know that. Here's a decent question, one that I have no take on, but it said use of PEDs when you have teen sons at home that lift. Is that any different than using alcohol at home? I guess like getting drunk in front of your sons or...
Well, it's legal to use alcohol.
Yeah.
So that's one big difference.
Well, and one
right
you
there.
Might do in the living room and one you might not.
Yeah. Some guys, I don't know. No shame. But anyway.
Just plug it against the wall.
Yeah, there you go.
The butt plunger. That's what it'll be called.
I don't know. I mean, is there anybody better equipped to say don't do this when you're young than someone who...
Yeah.
Actually has knowledge of it.
Yeah.
That's one view.
Yeah, I think it goes like everything else. Not that I'm a fucking dad, but your dad does something or is like something, you either become the same or you go the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to be like, fuck yeah, steroids are fucking dope.
Right.
Well, you know, like, I'm going to take them even though I'm 14. Or you'll be like, oh, my dad's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then you're like, don't even lift weights anymore.
Yeah, I don't really know what the question is for necessarily. I mean, alcohol is usually going to be something that is around and it's widely accepted more. Steroids clearly are not. So trying to explain to anybody, trying to justify them to anybody is not going to work out very well.
Yeah.
So like,
when I think
just,
everything,
you know,
personal choice on how you raise your kids, right?
Right.
Like my parents, my mom drank a decent amount like growing up, and then as soon as she had my sister, I mean, she just never drank.
Right.
So there wasn't alcohol in my house. You know, we'd have to like, my dad would run out and get beer when his friends were coming over because he didn't have it around.
Right.
And in that same case, like I kind of went that same route and I just don't drink.
Right.
But often you hear about kids like, oh no, my dad didn't drink and they're getting fucking hammered all week.
Right.
I'm not, I grew up in church and stuff, but I'm not a religious person at all these days. But one thing that gets me is that when I grew up, there wasn't a lot of swearing and there wasn't a lot of drinking, and very little, if no smoking among people who were, you know, in my sphere of influence and were religious.
Right.
And so now when I see folks who claim to be very religious, who are smoking and drinking and swearing all the time, I think, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know. Just it's, you know.
Even in
know.
My generation, I feel like that. I grew up in, raised pretty strict Catholic and things were kind of that way. Like drinking and Catholicism is kind of
there's
like
lot.
Everything else. Yeah. People just drink, you know, after parties or after funerals or whatever.
Right.
And swearing a little bit, but in terms of, we talk about this a lot of like people on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you know, like, you know, proud Christian and all this. And then they're, you know, sex appeals through the roof or cursing is through, you know, like, obviously your morals are your morals and you can take from the Bible certain things and not others if that's what you want. You know, like that's 100% up to you, like sex before marriage or whatever. You can be as strict or as loose as you want. But typically if you're promoting yourself as like a strict Christian or whatever religion, you would also portray those morals to the public at least.
Right.
Yeah, people tend to hide behind it, you know, when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll just...
Sadly, I think a lot of it's trendy just like anything else.
Yeah.
You know, athletes used to do it in the 90s. Right. You'd see them, you know...
Thank you, Jesus!
Yeah. They'd do the cross. They'd point up whatever. They'd pull their chain out of their jersey and kiss it. And then and then maybe it became cool now.
I don't believe that if there is a higher power, the higher power gives a single shit about
your touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care that
not
about my
one single
touchdown?
Fuck is given by any higher power about whether you win something or not. Because if you win, somebody else lost, and did they want that? Did this higher power want the other person to lose? Is that what they wanted?
I grew up in church, and some of the saddest people I ever met were in church.
Really?
You know, so that it left a kind of a weird taste in my mouth in those
terms.
Interesting.
Because, you think they were lost?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they were, you know, trying to do better, or trying to send a message at least to themselves that they're changing or turn their lives around or something. But you know, no one's holier than thou, and you're going to always kind of run into those situations where, you know, people are going to try to use religion to their advantage, and so other people, you know, really do live by their religion, and it works really well for them. So it's, you know, some people do a good job of being, like, spiritual in general, which I think we see a lot of in here in our gym, even though people aren't, like, not everybody goes to church. I think a lot of us are, you know, spiritual, like on a different level, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe not on a religious level, but it's definitely people just acts of kindness and things like that. I mean, we see it all the time. So it's not like you have to go to church for that necessarily.
Yeah.
Organized religion.
You might need to be brought
different.
Up well, or you might need to learn from somebody, a mentor or a family member or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I always come back to empathy. Do you have empathy for other people's situations? And,
right.
You know, or do you just not give a shit about anybody but yourself? You know,
that's all religions, right? All religions, the basis of every religion is very fucking the same.
Yeah. Right. I think so.
I didn't look. We tried to take questions on Twitter, but you guys are all bums. So.
You guys are all boycotting Twitter today.
How often should a one rep max be tested?
I think it depends on your goals, and then if you're doing a meet, it should probably only be at the meet. If you're not doing a meet, then you could probably do it whenever the hell you want if you're just having fun. And if you're trying to make progress, have a little bit of fun, and somewhere in between, maybe every 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. You know,
only for Instagram. Just do it for Instagram.
You shouldn't really be missing lifts, so you shouldn't be, you know, going too far towards a max all that often. I think what Mike's recommendation of like every other month or so would be fine. If you're newer to powerlifting or just newer to the types of lifts that you're doing, the odds of you missing lifts are greater because you don't have a great idea of what it is you're capable of. But rather than max singles, I think you'd be better off doing trying to get rep records and stuff like that, sets of three, sets of four, sets of five, stuff like that, because it just gives you it's you're getting in more training rather than just testing. So
right, yeah, everyone says build strength, not test strength, but that's what we mean by that. You always hear that phrase, but that's what people mean.
Yeah.
Every time you miss a lift, or every time you, even if you hit like a max one, you're taking away from the work you could have done and the work you're going to do in the next couple weeks.
Well, add up the amount of work that you did yesterday, right? And then put that versus the 675 deadlift that you did for a single.
Oh, yeah. I was doing math last night.
The workload doesn't even come close.
Yeah, 15,000 pounds of deadlifts yesterday.
And there's no way you did 15,000 pounds of deadlifts on the day you deadlifted 675.
No, probably like 5,000 or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the volume probably. So there's different ways to train, but I guess the main point is that by maxing out, you can't even really feel anything. I was kind of saying this to somebody yesterday, like if you watch somebody, let's say they hurt their shoulder and they're doing like a very typical kind of pec stretch that you would do by grabbing onto a machine or a wall or something like that. And you I think everybody knows the stretch I'm talking about.
Yeah, leaning forward kind of.
Putting your arm back and you're leaning forward. If you watch somebody do that, somebody that's like in a doctor's office and the doctor's asking them how their shoulder feels, you'll kind of see their, that was pretty good.
That was gross. I didn't know it was going to go.
Come out of your nose?
No, it came out everywhere. I think it came out my ears. I burped out my fucking ears. All I eat is a Quest bar all morning.
That was amazing.
Burping on fiber.
Are you sure?
I'm going to shit out my mouth in a second.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
But if you watch somebody who's doing that and they're being like diagnosed, doctor will say, oh, you know, how's your shoulder feel? And you'll kind of see the person's eyes kind of wander back and forth and wander around, and they're like, oh, well, it feels like, you know, this or whatever. You can't feel anything when you're under max amount of weight.
Yeah.
So if you're under 500 pounds, your eyes won't wander back and forth. You won't be like, oh, this is how this is supposed to feel.
Yeah, this is where my hips are.
You can't really like learn how to lift properly under those weights. And that's why volume a lot of times is chosen over just straight up intensity. You do need both to get stronger. Your Your technique needs to be challenged. Things that don't challenge you more than likely won't get you stronger. So you have to kind of find that happy medium between having some sort of form be compromised at least a tiny bit, along with you know, not maxing out and not going too heavy.
That's why it's been said a million times, but 70% to 85% is probably a decent range for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, here's something that's not on Twitter, but it's something I keep seeing a lot lately, and I think it's sort of a philosophical argument about whether or not lifts have sticking points.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and everyone has a unique one or not.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I mean, weak point training. I think weak point training was very popular, obviously, because of Conjugate, Louis Simmons, and Westside. Yeah. And it was a little more apparent when you're in gear, right? Yeah. Often in gear, you like smash a weight or you miss a weight.
You miss it, yeah.
Where raw, you can maybe grind through a little better and things might be a little different. I mean, obviously, everyone's going to have a weak point or a point where they're slower. But I'm a big fan of how some of the Russians train. Jeremy Hamilton trains this way. He's working with me currently. And he just always has you lift efficient and fast. So I'm never hitting a grinding point. Uh-huh. And then I do believe that after training that way for an extended period of time, even your 90, 92, 95% lifts will end up being faster and cleaner because you've built in that rhythm, built in that speed, built in that power, rather than if you're always grinding, you're kind of teaching yourself to grind.
Right. Yeah, if you always work on bad habits, then you'll always have bad habits.
Right.
And sometimes the best way to achieve using bad habits is to use the most amount of weight possible, because it's just gonna show all your weaknesses all at once. And so a lot of times, if you just train a little bit under that, and I'm not even talking about that much weight, sometimes it's only 20, 30 pounds less for some people.
Well, I think people actually need to do the math sometimes. Like, I'm not a huge nerd on percentages and stuff, but like, we have a lot of people.
It gives you a good base.
Well, we have a lot of people in our gym, like, oh yeah, going a light day. And if you look at what's on the bar, you know, they're deadlifting 550 pounds when their best is 585 or 600. That's not a light day. That's not giving your body a break. And
yeah.
That's not allowing you to lift proficiently. Like,
right.
Like 70% of 500 is like 380 pounds.
Right.
Like, go back down. Like, people have such an ego all the time, but if you actually do the math for once or twice, you know, or if you're good at math, you know,
right.
Like our boy Robot, he probably just has it in his head. But like, if you bench 315, a light day is like low 200s.
Right.
It's like 205, 225. If you bench 400, maybe it's 290, 315. You know, it's not the weights you think. If you touch 90% all the time, you're going to get burnt out and you just won't be able to handle the amount of volume.
Yeah. Observationally, it looks like, when you're looking at a lift, it looks like there are sticking points. But it's usually some kind of shift in leverage. It's often caused by being out of position at the beginning of the lift.
Right.
I think that it's just semantic. If you call it a sticking point and you know, everybody wants to break down to working in that range or whatever, I don't understand why there would be anything wrong with working in the range where the lift seems to fall apart.
Yeah, I think weak point training is fine, and it's often most done after your main movement anyway, so why not?
Right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when somebody talks about like a sticking point or some of these things, it can just be so simplified sometimes. Like a stiff leg deadlift would be like, in my opinion, like sticking point training, if you want to try to deem it as something. Because a lot of us realize that, yeah, your hips will probably move first, then the weight will leave the floor, and then you're going to end up looking like you're doing a stiff leg deadlift. Or you're going to dump a bunch of energy over the bar, and your shoulders are going to get out in front of the bar a little bit.
For your deadlift and squat.
Yeah, and you're going to end up in this kind of good morning / stiff leg deadlift position, so why not train from there? Same thing with a good morning. A good morning is a way to kind of mimic that a little bit more for the squat. And I think looking at like Bryce Lewis, I think he pulled 722 in his last meet, right?
I believe so.
He had some trouble with his grip, and so he started doing, you know, the rack lockouts that were just like an inch or two off the pins, holding on to the weight in his sumo stance with chalk, without straps, just done as he would do in competition with a similar bar that he's going to use in competition. And he just trained right there. He just trained that point, and then he went from, I think, having 675 fly out of his hands to pulling 722. Sometimes it's that simple.
He just pulled 750 or so the other day, he told me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's that easy. Okay, well, you know, I'm having trouble, having trouble locking the weight out, so I'm going to do pin presses for 3 weeks. It's not going to hurt your training.
Yeah.
No, as long as you're keeping the weights moderate.
Yeah.
It's assistance work. Like what? Right. What could be the downside of that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the best way of simplifying things. I think people can simplify it too much sometimes. Like, well, you missed that top bench. Triceps are weak, and then you fucking do tricep extensions for the next 7 days straight. Like, that's maybe not. Like, yeah. maybe you misgroove the bench. Maybe
tricep extensions. I mean, I would say that you could probably go your whole life without doing a tricep extension and have a strong bench.
Yeah. Maybe you're just not fast enough. You're just not strong enough.
You can't not bench.
Right.
You know, you have to bench, and you have to figure out different ways of bench pressing, but tricep extension is a pussy exercise. It's just not going to really get you much of anything.
Yeah.
It can help with the growth. I think that's the way things need to be broken down. A tricep extension would be more like a long-term exercise than it would be a short-term, because you're like, okay, well, my arms are small. They need to be bigger.
Yeah.
I'm going to do tricep extensions and reverse curls and preacher curls and all these different movements to try to make my arms larger, and forearm work and stuff like that.
Yeah, which gets us back to hypertrophy.
And, yeah. It's all like more long-term. It's like a long-term thing.
Well, I think you can split every training style that's ever been broken up in powerlifting into two different categories. One, you kind of believe you get hypertrophy work from the barbell movements, meaning your squat, bench, and deadlifting sets of 8 to 15 every once in a while, which is very popular now, daily undulating, periodization, and who knows what else. Or the opposite, which is more of a conjugate West Side type style, where you're doing only low reps, basically, in the competition lifts, and then all your hypertrophy comes from dumbbells or accessory work.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's rep schemes, frequency, intensity, and volume within those, but every training protocol ever can be broken down into those two.
Yeah. And, you know, West Side emphasizes speed so much, and speed is supposed to, theoretically, knock out any sticking point that you've got. You're supposed to be able to power through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes with speed work, sometimes people are just using a little bit too light a weight to really get the real results from it. But in general, yeah, speed work can be great too. And you've seen a lot of people kind of ditch that in favor of, you know, doing more volume. But part of the whole thing with speed work is to get in a lot of volume.
Right.
10 sets of three, that's the original kind of concept of it. And if you look at the original work that was done by Dr. Squat, you know, he would kind of say that you would use a much higher percentage than what Louis Simmons recommended.
Louis, more like 60s.
Yeah, Louis' numbers got skewed because of powerlifting gear, and because his guys developed so much strength and so much speed, the percentages actually got lower and lower because the guys were able to get more out of using less weight, if that makes any sense. But they started using less weight and more band tension, and they were able to kind of basically produce more force, drive into the bar a little faster than normal. I mean, some of those guys were, you know, getting up off a box with 800 pounds in bands faster than you can get up off your fucking couch, because they were just developing that kind of force and that kind of speed. But in general, yeah, I think the percentages would probably be more in the neighborhood of 65 to 75%, even for speed work.
And squat would be 70 to 80.
Yeah, and you know what? Your speed doesn't have to necessarily be super fast. It needs to be somewhat fast for you, and it needs to be consistent throughout the workout. And he's basically just not get a whole lot slower as you're going. That's compensatory acceleration.
We got another question. Hobbies outside of lifting weights.
Hmm?
Any hobbies?
Like what? What else is there? Is there anything else?
Steak.
I guess my hobbies would be my kids, if you want to call that a hobby. I spend a lot of time with those little fuckers. I like to watch a lot of football. I like The Walking Dead. I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead.
I've never seen it.
I like Game of Thrones. I like, you know, some different TV shows. Probably not too much, nothing out of the norm there. Seeing a good movie here and there is fucking awesome. I saw The Martian.
Good.
That was awesome. I liked it a lot.
I loved that movie.
Super funny.
Let's see it again.
Insanely clever. I like that movie a lot. And then I would say, like, I like food a lot. You know, like, I bounce around from fucking, my fat body bounces around from one restaurant to another.
Every restaurant in our area knows Mark's name.
Yeah, pretty frequently. I got, like, five different places on my rotation that are in Davis that I end up at, you know, pretty much on a weekly basis. Or I should say on a daily basis. It's actually the truth of it. I'm so fat.
Pizza for breakfast.
Don't fat shame me.
I don't know. I like movies, TV shows a lot. some of the same stuff as Mark. Some other nerdier stuff too. I kind of got into the technology aspect of all this stuff, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing this show, and we wouldn't be thinking about doing the show in an entirely
different way. You like a lot of podcasts, right, Jim?
I actually listen to a fair number of podcasts. I kind of got into Serial last year. I don't know if you guys experienced it at all, but basically it was a spinoff of This American Life, and they looked at one case where a guy as a teenager had been convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend, but the investigation was pretty shitty. And,
yeah.
And
this is just a TV show?
Podcast.
Oh.
Podcast.
Oh, maybe you told me about that.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people got interested in that case, and when they were done with it, after, you know, 10, 11, 12 episodes, whatever it was, people have been following through on it and continuing to work on trying to maybe solve the case in a way that the police didn't bother to in, you know, 1999. So I've been actually, I get interested in that kind of true crime stuff. I don't know. It always like
that. I like watching that shit too on like 60 Minutes and stuff like that.
Pretty yeah. Cool. Helter Skelter, the book about the Manson family, is probably one of the greatest true crime books of all time to me. So food definitely. I like to cook. Actually, in the last few years, I've really gotten into cooking stuff. And I think I've probably said before that one of my favorite things to do is just kind of try to jump in with whatever ingredients I have and then come up with something to eat out of it, you know?
Yeah, what's that TV show? Another TV show like that?
Chopped?
I don't know. My girlfriend watches them all. I can't watch food TV. I'll fucking
start
eating. Yeah, I guess. Oh, hungry.
I've definitely been into like home improvement shit. I still watch those shows, but they're
Tim
only
Allen?
No, not that show. No, the actual people working on their houses kind of stuff. I've always been interested in that, and I spent, you know, years doing it. And the last few things that need to be done on my current house are so much more money than I'm willing to spend right now. So, and I'm not going to take them on myself. I swear to God, I'm not. So.
I guess other than food and movies, what else is there, you know?
Sports.
Yeah, watching sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch
a lot of baseball, a reasonable amount of football.
I guess my business is kind of a hobby, too, in a way. A lot of it ends up being, you know, it's a fucking pain in the ass sometimes, but a lot of it ends up being a lot of fun. And, unfortunately, I spend a lot of time doing that shit.
Somebody asked about appliances.
Yeah, I saw that. I ignored it. I thought it was weird.
Well, I have one. Everybody should have one of these. Everybody should have an immersion blender.
Oh, yeah. Those things fucking rock.
Yeah.
Those things are great.
$25 or whatever.
I don't drink shakes, though.
They're great. It doesn't matter. It's great for soup.
Yeah. You know, don't eat soup.
You can
even
make peanut butter with one.
Even coffee.
Peanut butter's not bad. Yeah, the coffee, I don't do anything. Maybe some milk. Otherwise, it's black. I don't do anything. I'm telling you, I'm boring.
An immersion blender, Mike.
Spices, if you're making up a spice mix for like a meat rub or something.
Yeah,
so
no, you need an immersion blender. I wouldn't buy you one for Christmas.
What about a man groomer? That's one of your favorite household tools.
Yeah, I love the man groomer. That thing's great.
What other household
just,
tools
you
do
get
you
a little man groomer happy and just start shaving off everything.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
I'm trying to think of shit I use. I don't really use anything.
I sometimes use my blender.
I have a coffee bean grinder from like the fucking 70s. It was like my dad's.
I have a washer and a dryer.
You use that? Mm-hmm. You don't use that?
No, I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to use it. Yeah. I have a dishwasher.
I don't have anything cool.
I do the laundry sometimes. I'm not allowed to fold, though.
I fold bad, too. I think it's not in our genetics.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
I fold just fine.
Really, people kill me if I fold their shit. Oh, my God.
I'm happier if my wife does not try to fold my socks because, you know, to her, a black sock is a black sock. But my black socks are
different. They're different companies or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I can't wear them together if they don't go together. Right. So I would just assume that she not. But, you know.
Yeah, to me, folding is just like it's not even necessary. Like I have a hard time even understanding.
Fucking origami.
I just have a hard time understanding really any of it. Like the dresser and stuff, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, can't we just take our clothes and just put it somewhere else? Like, why has it got to be folded and then put in a drawer just to be like taken back out again? It drives me crazy.
Why don't we just wear one pair of clothes for the rest of our lives?
And why in the fuck is the washer and dryer two separate motherfucking units? Can't somebody make it one fucking thing?
They can.
Or at least have gravity fucking pull it down from the goddamn washer into the motherfucking dryer, which then turns on by itself? Can't we get somebody to be fucking innovative enough to create something like that? God damn it.
There's a European unit that's washer and dryer. It takes a long time. Like one load takes a tremendous
I hate long loads.
Make it better. Make it fucking better. God damn it. The whole thing. I have upstairs, downstairs. I got to take the laundry down the stairs. Don't you have a chute? We have a chute. We use the chute quite a lot, but sometimes that gets backed up. The poop chute.
Does the chute go up?
No, I know. You need it to go up.
You ever in the Nike store anywhere, but in San Francisco, they have like a little mini
tube.
With Nike shoes. You just fucking, like the bank goes up. It's like an elevator. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you need some of that.
God damn, what a frustrating thing.
Well, maybe whatever those fucking, is it Kenmore or some shit?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll hear our call.
Yeah, somebody get on that shit.
Fucking Kenmore. Kenmore Elite Washer.
Tools or appliances.
Kitchen tools? I don't use shit, man. I use a fucking pan.
Thermopen. Just like save up your dollars and get a thermopen. They're awesome for cooking meat.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, they're spectacular. If you have trouble figuring out when your meat is done.
I have a toaster oven.
I don't even have a toaster oven. I got shit.
Toaster oven.
Cure eggs?
Cool.
I don't really like Cure eggs.
No, they suck.
They completely suck.
The coffee's gross from there.
Yeah.
Tastes like plastic.
Well, I will say that
it just tastes diluted.
And there's no caffeine in those.
I do pour overs. You know what I do want? Is it a Simbex or some shit? There's like chem. It looks like a chem set, but it's to make coffee.
Mm.
It literally looks like a fucking junior high chem
set.
Like
you're going to blow yourself up?
Yeah, I want one of those, and it makes coffee somehow. It's like a pour over type deal.
Okay.
Not a Chemex.
No.
A Chemex is a simple one, I think.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's fucking called. Actually, I think I saw it on Derek Poundstone's thing. Instagram, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong.
But it's you do need a good frying pan.
Yeah, I got a good pan.
Having a good pan's helpful.
I have something for coffee.
One cast iron pan, and then I've got a like $15, $20 nonstick pan. Yeah,
for like eggs or whatever.
Target.
Yeah.
No, I actually have an omelet pan for eggs.
What about a griddle?
I don't need a griddle.
I don't cook breakfast, but if I cook breakfast, I'd do griddle. I think it's easier to cook on than a pan.
Well, I actually have a griddle, but I don't really use it very much.
Yeah, you do pancakes on one side, bacon in the middle, and eggs on the other.
Now you're just being fat.
Yeah. Breakfast food's really fucking good. I never eat it. I never eat it, but breakfast food's delicious.
I would love someone to buy me a nice big espresso machine. Like the old school looking ones, you know.
Like the one we had that $100 coffee from?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Aren't espresso machines this huge, though?
Yeah, they're ginormous. We should just get one in the corner here.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
There's a big old copper thing. It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah,
oh my
from
God.
Willy Wonka's factory.
Yeah, I mean now the pressure. Yeah,
my buddy ordered us one from the Dutch Brothers.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. They just opened a Dutch Brothers.
It can be expensive though. I think the ones he used are like ten grand.
Yeah, I think they're very expensive.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
See, that's not what I had in mind. But
yeah,
like now
that'd be
amazing.
Now you gotta go big.
Yeah, you cook some fucking caveman on it.
Yeah.
They're all like computer controlled and shit now, but it used to be that like the pressure, you pull the thing down and you know you control
the steam's coming out over here and something's twizzling over there.
Yeah,
it makes good noises and has good sounds, and you're just like, this is gonna be so good.
Yeah,
before everything was computerized, you used to be able to ask for a long pull, you know, so you got a little bit more.
Oh, I know
exactly.
That's like
rather
that
than a short cone, tug,
but a Play-Doh machine thing going on. Yeah, pulling down on the handle.
Oh yeah, and the hair comes out of the little doll.
Oh my God.
Play-Doh is a weird toy. Who the fuck invented that?
I don't know.
Here's some fucking unedible mud for our kids to play with all day.
Silly Putty is one that gets me, too. It's like,
oh, so weird.
The only thing you can really do with Silly Putty is make copies of the Sunday comics.
Yeah. All of it's so weird.
Like, you can do that, and it's cool and everything if it's in reverse and you're pulling ink off the paper, but I don't get it.
I was never into comics. I was never into any of that shit.
Really? Not into comics?
No, not really. Mm. People, like, talk about, like, Dragon Ball Z and stuff. I think I was just too busy playing basketball to know what the fuck. Watch Dragon Ball Z all day.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, I watched plenty of cartoons as a kid, but our kids are so into video games. Like, I like video games. I wouldn't call it a hobby because I don't do it that often. I do like video games, but some kids like know the whole story and the fucking whose aunt is who and who fucking designed it, and I don't know, man. I had shit going on as a kid. I had school and then basketball and then homework and then you're back to bed.
And then you're fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
And on the weekends, terrible. I worked.
It was terrible, terrible. I see somebody asked a question.
It probably sucks.
Kind of a serious one.
Uh-oh.
What has been the best advice you've received over the years, personally and lifting?
Just going to meditate on it.
Home. I'd say my pops gave me some good advice, and Ed Cohn has also given me some good advice. I've been fortunate to be around some pretty fucking awesome people and have some pretty awesome friends, have some pretty cool people that are doing some cool shit. So I've been lucky to get around some people that have given me great advice in a lot of different things. But my dad saying part of knowing who you are is knowing who you are not, I think is a great one. It kind of helped me kind of just recognize, like, okay, there's some sick motherfuckers that are in this powerlifting game, and I may never catch them, but I can just do me the best I can, and I can follow through with that. Is on the highest level that I possibly can figure that out, you know, but I'm not going to ever lift as much as Ed Cohn. And then Ed Cohn told me, you know, be nice to people that are nice to you and nothing else. And I always think that that's a great one because that's really fucking hard to follow. But if you can follow it, it can be really useful. Every once in a while you get some people talking shit on you, or you get some people, you know, that are annoying you or spreading rumors about you or whatever, people hating on you or whatever. You can just kind of go back to that saying and say, all right, well, that person's not being good to me, so there's no reason for me to get involved in anything they're saying. I'm just going to focus on people around me that are positive.
Ed Cohn's pretty wise. He's older, but he's not that old. You know, typically old people are
wise. He's a sensei.
He's a very wise man.
I think he's like 52 or so, yeah.
He and I are about the same age.
Doesn't look a day past 25.
Yeah.
Handsome fella.
Something that actually, I don't know, it's not something that somebody said to me, but it's something that occurred to me a few years ago when my best friend died. I went to his funeral and at Arlington, and a lot of people were talking about him, and then, you know, during the ceremony and then service and then afterwards, about how much impact he'd had on their lives. And, you know, he was definitely somebody that saw potential in people and all that stuff. But it had me thinking at the time, like how many people am I impacting? Like, how many people could possibly think anything like this about me? And, like, what am I doing that could have an impact on people at all? And, like, if I die and I'm not cremated, who's going to carry the box, right? You know, and so, I mean, it reinforced some of the things I thought about being involved in any activity, you know, like powerlifting or whatever, because, you know, if your life is just work, you don't really develop those connections. Once you're out of school, you don't really meet that many people outside of a work context to even have any kind of an impact on. And then just, you know, I mean, I don't care if everybody in the world likes me, but I would, you know, would prefer that they have a good opinion. And so I've sort of always tried since then to reach out to people as much as I can. And when people reach out to me and ask me questions or whatever, I just try to be there as much as I can, even though it's not the easiest thing in the world. And it's becoming, you know, lately it's more than it's ever been, but like, why not? You know,
Why not? A lot of people, you know, want to associate greatness with somebody scoring a certain amount of points in a basketball game or, you know, all these different things that, at least here in America, people place value on somebody being a celebrity for whatever reason, or somebody, you know, being an athlete. A lot of times these are skills that are, you know, refined, that a lot of these people are kind of born with.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those routes may not be the hardest route. A harder route may be to put other people in front of yourself constantly, and to do things like take care of your family and do shit that you don't want to necessarily do all the time. And so it's like, you know, what we consider to be great is very skewed, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know your friend, but I'm sure he was great, and a lot of people probably viewed him that way. And so I think, you know, a lot of times we're just trying to like, oh, this guy bench pressed this, or this guy squatted that. It's like, is that really that great?
Yeah.
It's cool. But as we know on the podcast, That doesn't get you on the podcast. That doesn't get you in Power Magazine. That doesn't get you more followers. That doesn't make you more money.
Right.
What makes you more money is you overcame some shit. You've done some cool stuff. You put other people in front of you. You care about people.
Right.
You're respectful. You're a nice human being. You're a good fucking person. You're great.
Yeah.
And on top of it, you just so happen to deadlift 800 pounds.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, those are the things, those are the qualities that you're hoping for. And that's what makes Ed Cohn so great. And when he left, I was just like, that's it, man. We had the best guy ever here, you know, because he is a great person.
Right.
You know, and there's a guy that will have, you know, a million people, you know, going to his funeral when he dies next month of old age.
Yeah, I can't find the quote, but a similar quote that my high school basketball coach, I was really lucky, was a really good mentor inside and out of the gym. Kind of stuff that we all preach is these are just sports at the end of the day, but what can you put into the sport that transfers into your life? And it's a baseball quote or some baseball player, but I don't know what the hell it is. But this guy would like run every, you know, he know he's getting out, but he'd run to fucking first base as fast as he can, or he'd run to the outfield regardless if they're losing or whatever. He just like hustled really hard, and reporters asked him, like, you know, like, why do you run so hard, or why do you play so hard every single play? And he said, well, someone out there is watching me play for the first time.
Right.
And that's something I always try to bring into the sports world, and sometimes it's harder in the real world, but simple things we've talked about it on the podcast, but open the door for people at the mall and you just see their face kind of light up for no reason. Maybe those people never see me again, but hopefully they think like, oh, that pudgy little guy with the ST shirt on was a nice guy, you know. Something like that. My dad was a huge influence, but he wasn't one much for quotes. He was just kind of a lead by example guy.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, to put a quote on is just leaders lead by example, or leaders lead from the front. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've always tried to adapt into my sports and lifestyle.
I think you're talking about Pete Rose.
Yeah, I think you're talking about
Pete. Maybe. Yeah. I hate baseball, but it's a good quote.
I love baseball, but
Pete motherfucking Rose. Charlie Hustle.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to fucking
sprint it as hard as he goddamn could.
Yeah, I tried to Google it.
Like nearly like blow off a fucking hamstring every time he sprinted, even if it was a pop-up, you know?
Yeah, whoever that guy was.
The other quote you have from your basketball coach is a good one, where he talks about sacrificing for the unknown, you know, where you're just working hard and working towards something. A family friend of ours is actually preparing to swim the English Channel.
Really?
And, it's just like, you know, it's like the guy swims, you know, 3 hours a day and just, you know, he's, I don't know, 40, you know, it's like just, Who the hell knows why?
Yeah.
You know, why am I trying to bench 600 pounds? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the fact is you may never bench 600 pounds.
Yeah.
But you have to bench 525 for five sets of five today to get there.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting. You know, you are sacrificing for the unknown. I mean, this guy's going to literally get into shark infested waters to try to figure out like who he is and what he's all about, you know.
Yeah,
there's a guy that's got a you know, wife and stuff too, and it's not like he's you know, got a death wish and he just you know, is not like he's just a thrill seeker or something crazy either. He just a challenge for him that's going to challenge him, and something that he's hoping will have a positive impact on his life, I guess.
Joe DiMaggio is the one who said that one of them might be a kid seeing me play for the first time. I owe him my best.
Joe DiMaggio. Has he got that 62 hits in a row or 60-something? It's still a record, right? Or is it 56? How many games in a row with a hit? It's one of those records.
What was he, a Yankee?
Yeah, it's one of those records that, you know, it doesn't sound that crazy. But,
yeah, but it's been really, really hard to.
I mean, a couple guys have kind of creeped fairly close to it, but yeah,
hitting streak
56. There you go.
Yeah, 56 consecutive games.
Yeah,
like I think that a couple guys have gotten close a few times, but it's just really going to be hard.
Yeah,
especially the way that the
pitching is so good now. Fucking really hard now.
Yeah, pitching is good. We use so many more pitchers per game, so the pitchers are fresher typically. Yeah. Later in the game,
yeah, they're hurling that fucking ball really fast,
and we're so much more careful about players and injuries now because players are so expensive.
Yeah, My son's game the other day, his kid was fucking hurling some really, really good curveballs and shit. It was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys are 11. And this is just some fall baseball. It's kind of, you know, I mean, they're playing seriously, but it's kind of
off season.
Yeah, it's kind of for fun, you know. But yeah, this kid is throwing some fucking crazy pitches. I was like, holy! I mean, you could stand behind the plate and watch the ball like cut. I was like, oh my god!
Are they side to side or top to bottom, like 12-6 or
12-6? Yeah,
12-6. Yeah, those are nuts.
Just yeah, like, I was like, yeah, what the hell?
Because
yeah, crazy.
Yeah, because I mean, you only have so long to decide when and where to swing.
Yeah.
And if the ball looks like it's up high.
Some of these kids are, like, so unconventional, too. You don't know what the hell's going on. Because it's, like, not like, you know, it's not, like, standard technique. And then their bodies are all just long and different. And there's our motherfucking phone.
Yeah, the phone's ringing.
Great idea, everybody.
Yeah, that was my idea. Sorry.
Somebody not important is calling us.
No one will ever answer it. That's the best part. But, you know, it's just, there's one kid in particular, he just kind of stands there and kind of looks, it almost looks like he's looking straight up at the sky. He's standing in the back of the batter's box, and his eyes kind of look like they're closed almost completely. When he runs and stuff, he's pretty unorthodox and stuff. It's just crazy. But then as soon as the ball is pitched, he takes this giant step forward and swings the bat like a motherfucker.
Oh,
and
cranks
the ball. It's the weirdest thing because you're like, what is going to happen with what's going on with his stance?
Yeah.
You're like, this is so weird. I don't know if you guys remember Bill Cartwright shooting the free throws back in the day.
Right.
Those real weird sidewinder. It's kind of like a stance like that. Where
he's
like,
from here.
Kind of like, I've never seen that before. What is going on?
Bill's a local cat.
I know. You think he told me that before.
Yeah.
He came to your school or something, right?
Yeah, his son went to my high school.
Wow.
Bit older. I mean, that's a huge motherfucker, Bill Cartwright.
We got any more questions?
I don't know. Basketball season's coming. Baseball season's ended. Football season's on path.
Baseball season's still going, but
football's going pretty good.
I said ending.
Ending.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Two series left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cubs. I mean, by the time this is up, then we'll know what the hell happened with the Cubs. But they at least made it into the LCS for the first time.
When is the official ST training manual going to hit the market? Have you worked that out yet, Mike?
No.
Why not?
No manuals.
It fell through?
Yeah.
Jim?
Computer crashed.
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 You
got to
start over.
Why do computers crash?
I don't know.
They don't really crash.
I don't know anything about computers.
If you say I crashed my Escalade, I'm like, oh, fuck, what happened? But if you say you crashed your computer, it didn't actually crash.
When somebody's asking me questions about like how to build a following on social media and all this shit, I'm just so baffled because I'm like, this guy does not understand that I don't know how to use a computer. I don't even own one for that very reason. They scare the fuck out of me. And I have an ability to hit a button that completely deletes everything. And I don't even know what that button is or if it even exists. But I somehow fucking discovered it. I can erase all work somehow. me and computers do not mesh very well.
Well, I have the computer that has all of the footage all the way back to 2005 and actually even a little bit before that. I upgraded it to Windows 10 and it was causing it to freak out really badly. So I tried to roll it back to Windows 7 and, it doesn't work at all anymore. So
that's great.
I'm gonna have to figure out a new drive to put on it to revive it. But there's like, you know, years and years and years of historical footage there.
That's called Something Weird Happened. That's what
something
I call it.
Something Weird Happened, yeah.
Unexplainable. Like, I don't know. Like, what happened? Something weird happened.
Yeah, I don't know why. My whole generation is so good at computers, and I'm very decent.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about it.
I'm not that good.
Fat Dan's pretty good, like with
he's
some
decent.
Technical shit.
Yeah, he's decent.
I think
really?
It's just because he's fat and he's young.
Yeah, college kids.
Yeah.
I was probably better at it 5 years ago.
Oh, now you're all rusty.
I'm already old, yeah. Well, like, or even just like the websites, like where to find new music or where to find funny videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that changes so fast.
Yeah, I don't know. And Dan's mentioned all these websites. I was like, I've never heard of any of those, bro. Or like people say, like, like Will Smith. Did you hear Will Smith's coming on a tour? Did I mention that already? Yeah, Will Smith's going on tour with DJ Jazzy Jeff and making
a
new album.
That's amazing.
But I had to hear that from a young guy, whereas before I probably would have seen it on a blog I went to or a website. Yeah. I'm not that guy anymore. Yeah, people are texting me that the new Halo is coming out. Like, I don't fucking know. I had to
Google it. It's kind of nice to have some different generations in here so you don't get too far left behind.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting left behind.
Yeah, but it's not like you're like Japan or something where they have the movies that come out here that come out 2 years later over there.
So sad.
You're not that far behind.
Not yet.
Yeah, when I was over there, it was ridiculous. They were like, oh, they were getting all excited because like The Fugitive was coming out or something. I was like, oh my God, this movie's like 8 years old. What are you talking about? I can't even remember what movie it was, but it was something like that. It was something really terrible.
I need to go watch The Martian now.
This is fucking
crazy. You really do need to see The Martian.
That, right? And then Star Wars. That's what I'm waiting for. And I'm going to fucking Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're going to Disneyland, yeah. We're recording this.
Sliding that chair around, aren't you?
I know. My hip, I fucked up my left hip with my deadlift, and I have ADD. But besides that, so like I think putting my right one up would help, but it's kind of helping, but kind of not.
Can't figure it out. Yeah. Just put it up on the podcast desk.
Oh, just my left one? Just
throw it up there, yeah.
That would hurt so bad.
Yeah, I'm deadlifting so many fucking reps. My little back's getting upset.
We got any other questions here?
Not all these people's questions suck.
Would there ever be a manual? Maybe. There might also be an automatic. Speaking of manuals, I test drove a Ford Focus ST the other day.
Focus.
6-speed manual transmission. It was fucking spectacular.
Test drove it to buy it or test drove it for funsies?
I'd like to buy it. I need to wait a little bit longer. So it was a CarMax, so it wouldn't be that exact car, probably, because they tend to turn over a little fast. But it had black rims. Why don't all cars have black rims?
Why do they or why don't
why
they?
Why don't they?
Yeah, they look good.
Brake dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the brake dust just, on my wife's car, just killed the rims. They were just dirty all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had to get her new rims.
Yep.
Fucking white people problems.
Oh, the rims on my Range Rover are fucking dirty.
This car just sounds so good.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know if they're pumping the engine sound through the speakers or whatever, but it's,
I heard that they're actually doing shit like that now. Like, not through the speakers necessarily.
Well, there was a movie about it with Vince Vaughn and who's the fat white guy from Hitch? King of Queens guy, isn't it? Kevin James and Vince Vaughn did a movie where they have like an electric like muscle car and it doesn't sound like anything, so they're supposed to make an audio reel that makes it sound perfect, like a whatever, you know, 67 Mustang or some shit, and that's what the whole movie's about. But I think they actually do that now for some electric cars.
They're some cars, period. BMWs and I mean, a lot of cars do that because you don't get the feedback. The cars are so tight that you can't hear the engine so well, so they pump it in there. I mean, it could easily be with this ST because it's got a big subwoofer in the hatch area. So who knows? Yeah, spectacular.
Back to that manual before I forget. Mr. Robot Pants and I wrote a book called Jacked and Tan that we've been working on for 9,000 years. But it's kind of hard to, with my schedule and with his schedule, of trying to be Mr. Dr. Pants. It has taken some time, but we would probably finish that motherfucker up in about January or so. Probably be ready in like March or some shit like that. From a company called Victory Belt, which helped make the Supple Leopard, Kelly Starrett's book.
Oh, the Supple Leopard.
So, I mean, we got some work to do. The book is basically done. It has a little bit of refinement to go and some photos and shit like that to go. But yes, something will come out. For some reason or another at some point, and then you can purchase it and tell me how bad that it sucks. Yes, that's true. It's damn true.
There we go. Shall we bring this one in for a landing?
I guess so.
Got nothing else to say.
I don't know. I got something else to say.
I'm just going to go find food.
I'm starving.
What are you going to eat?
Probably something healthy.
Why?
Like pizza.
Turn over new leaf?
Healthy pizza.
Special thanks to Matt Vincent for sending us this.
Is it a crocodile or alligator?
That's a really good question.
Crocodile.
Okay. I think probably.
What do they have down in Louisiana? I don't know.
I think they have both. But I think alligators tend to have rounder noses.
Mm. But don't they just call them all gators?
Oh, maybe. No. What about dials?
Sending us this reptile?
Jurassic Park.
Matt Vincent, thanks for sending us this reptile.
Yeah.
Jurassic.
That's not a snake, though.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Something else I was going to say. I guess it doesn't matter.
Someone's out there deadlifting.
We might try to go on location coming up. Maybe a San Jose trip for Jason Kalipa. And maybe also possibly L.A. at some point. Maybe just before the L.A. Fit Expo might make the most sense. But we'll see. Anyway, multiply your muscle, multiply your hustle, and may all your shits be tapered.
I'm at Silent Mike with two guys, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jimmy D, STTV. Everywhere that I would want you to find me, I haven't said it that way in a while, but that's really Instagram and Twitter. You could find me on those things and follow me, and I'd really appreciate it. Follow the show on Instagram, at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/SupertrainingGym, Twitter and Instagram at SG, not Twitter and no, not Instagram, Twitter and Periscope at STGymSec. And later.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of